Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, the morning devotees teach the power of the voice, obeisances, all glory to the Prabhupada. So this morning, reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 3, text 21, 22, and 23. And we'll read chapter 21 first, three times, and then anyone who wants to read can read or cite that, sing that. Apanina kaila dharma shikana nayaya Eta siddhanta gita bhagavate gaya Apane na kaile ka dharma shikana Yaya Eta siddhanta gita bhagavate gaya Apane na kaile dharma shikana na yaya Eta siddhanta gita bhagavate gaya Hare Krishna. Okay, word for word. Apane, personally, na kaile, if not practiced, dharma, religion, shikana, the teaching, na, yaya, does not advance, ei, this, ta, certainly, siddhanta, conclusion, gita, in the Bhagavad Gita, bhagavate, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Gaya, they sing. Translation by Jivani Visheshi Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Unless one practices devotional service himself, he cannot teach it to others. This conclusion is indeed confirmed through the Gita and Bhagavatam. Text
Yadahidahidharmasya granir bhavati bharata vyutanam adharmasya tadatmam tadatmanam siddhamyaham.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in the religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Text 23.
Parita naya sadhunam vinasa yacha duskritam dharma samspa samstapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I myself appeared millennium after millennium. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Go up a little bit. Texts 22 and 23 were spoken by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 7 and 8. And texts 24 and 25, which follow, are also to be found in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 24 and 21.
Om Aginat Mirandasya Gyana Ganashalakaya Chakshu Om Litam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadatika Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaisabham Sicha Sri Rupa Sahaja Jatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Sicha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinaban Vijana Jagarpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namusite Dapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhan Sute Devi Paramami Hari Pri Vanchaka Patru Vishcha Kripa Sunibe Eva Chapti Tanam Pavane Vyo Vaishavi Vyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pabunity Ananda Sidvaita Gadarha Sivasari Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti, Vedanta Swami, Niti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharini, Nirvishesha Sunyavari, Paschatyarya Shetarini, Namo Mahavaranyaya, Krishna Prema Padayate, Krishnaya, Krishna Chaitanya, Namini Gauravatise Namaha. Ananda Nilamaya Vigrahaya Himavidi Pachavishindaraya Tasmi Maha Prema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So, in Bhagavad, in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, it said in Adilila, Adilila chapter 3, text 21, makes a very profound message, gives us a very profound message. The translation there is, unless one practices devotional service himself, one cannot teach it to others. The first point that comes from this is, devotional service is a practical activity. It's a practical activity. So, unless one has actually done it and continues to do it, he cannot get the insight of it, the realizations that come from it, and therefore be in a position to explain it, to reveal it, to teach it to others. One has to practice, of course, for us, who are conditioned souls, we start off with being given the instructions. We do service by following the instructions. But that alone is practice in itself. Because when we're told to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we are practicing the chanting of the holy name Yugadam. We are told to do other things like listening to lectures, where we can learn more about Krishna and Krishna's devotees, as explained by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita and as explained by his devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam, then we get to know and we get to be closer and develop a heart connection over time, gradually, with Krishna. And then from there, in associating with devotees, we also learn from them what to do, what not to do. Sometimes we go through challenges, or sometimes we see other devotees go through challenges, and we see how they get themselves out of it, either successfully or unfortunately, in some cases, unsuccessfully. But they are all to teach us what to and what not to do. And so, with that practice, observing and practicing it, then we develop the proper attitude towards devotional service. And over time, then, we get a sense of who we are, what our limitations are, what we can do, what we cannot do. And the best is to rely on Krishna. Doing and not doing should all come from Krishna's will, by the teachings of the spiritual master and the guidance of the spiritual master. So through that, then we get a sense of what the devotional service is about. And as it said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ahoitiki Apatiyata, it is never to be stopped. It is to be continued. Devotional service is to be continued. It is gone on. You can make changes as a physical body is able to or not able to, but you do not stop. As Sanatana Goswami in Vrindavan used to do parikrama around Govardhan Hill. The body became older, but he still wanted to do the service of circumambulating Govardhan Hill. So finally, the Lord gave him a shila and says, circumambulate around the shila. And circumambulate around the shila, the stone, the sacred stone, that is equivalent to going around Govardhan Hill. So the practice was adjusted for him, but he was not stopped. So adjustment can be made in situations right now, in particularly in Harrisburg, with the new deities mercifully coming, Nitaigora Chanda, Sisi Nitaigora Chanda. We are all adjusting our services now to suit them. What to do, who can do what time to show up, what adjustments need to be made, consultations with those who are in the deity ministry in terms of what to do and what not to do, or what adjustments can be made. And the Lord is merciful enough to take all our services and even our mistakes, which we ask for forgiveness for, at the end of every practice, those of us that are going on the altar at this point. But this is all practice. Practice of devotion service. So unless one practices devotion service himself or herself, he or she cannot teach it to other people. This conclusion is confirmed in the Gita, all over the Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this point is so important that even though Lord Krishna talked about devotional service, who he was, who we were, at a spiritual level, what to do, so many points were explained in 18 chapters, 700 texts in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Still, the Lord came to demonstrate devotional service in the person of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came to demonstrate. He taught, but he showed more what devotional service was about. So the Lord himself confirms this point, that one has to be practicing devotional service in order to teach others. So he came as a devotee to practice devotional service, to teach us the perfect way to connect heart in the heart and also in our activities in devotional service. So Krishna himself came as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as it said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 3, text 52. Other places may quote it too, I think. But this part in text 52, Krishna Vanam Tvasa Krishna Sangupanga Asya Parshadam Yagyai Sankitam Prayam Yadantihi Shumedasa. See, the Prabhupada quotes that a lot. The age of Kali. Intelligent persons who perform congregational chanting to worship. Intelligent persons, that's what they do. They perform Sankirtan. Sankirtan, Yagyai Sankirtan. The Sankirtan movement is the Yagya, the sacrifice for this age. Once you chant the holy name of the Lord. And so Krishna came, and he was chanting the holy name of Krishna to show us. He came in a golden complexion, not blackish. So it says, although his complexion is not blackish, he's Krishna himself. And his associates came with them, his servants, weapons, confidential companions, all there with them. He's chanting the holy name. The important point, very important for us, is that the holy name of the Lord takes us back to the spiritual world. So it is something to take seriously and to be chanting constantly so that we can remember the Lord constantly, as Rupa Goswami tells us to do. Always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. So, Rupa Goswami says that it's not necessary to perform in this age expensive, elaborate, sacrificial demonstrations or ceremonial functions. So instead of engaging in such external and pompous exhibitions, all people, whether they have different, whatever the caste is, whatever their color is, whatever they believe in, the creed, they all assemble together and chant Hare Krishna to worship Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is chanting Hare Krishna. For Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. Therefore, to worship Lord Chaitanya is equivalent to worshiping Krishna. There is no difference. The name of Krishna should be given such great prominence, and that's why Krishna Vananta Krishna is there. Lord Chaitanya taught Krishna consciousness and chanted the name of Krishna. Therefore, to worship Lord Chaitanya, everyone should chant Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hari, Hari. Hari Ram, Hari Ram, 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 Hari, Hari. So anywhere, everywhere, people can chant Hare Krishna. In the Shishastaka, Lord Chaitanya said, there are no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy name. It can be chanted at any time, anywhere. Anywhere means anywhere. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we can chant the holy name of Krishna. And also, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was a disciple of Lord Chaitanya, he says the principle of devotion and service was lost for a while, which segues into the next two, what we'll be talking about, the next two texts. Sri Chaitanya appeared in order to deliver, again, the process of devotion. And he is so kind. Namo Mahavada Nyaya Krishna Prema Pradayati. He's so kind that he's distributing Krishna Prema, the highest love of Krishna. So everyone, since advantage is there to be taken, everyone should be attracted more and more to his lotus feet. And he made an analogy, just like hummingbees attracted to a lotus flower, the nice scent from the lotus flower. The hummingbees just descend on the lotus flower to get that intoxicating to them wonderful scent from the lotus flower. So the Lord is present as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he is chanting the holy name of the Lord. When we do that, serve and chant, then we will have the dormant love of Godhead that's in our heart awakened slowly and surely. And being around devotees, this is very important, the association of devotees, because non-devotees will not make us excited in Krishna consciousness. We'll actually do the opposite. We'll dampen our spirits and involve ourselves more. They are into sense gratification. We are into finding out how to connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in love, Radha Krishna, the divine couple. So everyone should be attracted to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and do what he's doing. So when one does not have, as it says in the translation of this first one, one does not have devotion service as a means of life, practicing it themselves, then they cannot teach it to others. Certainly the excitement that comes with devotion service cannot be revealed to anyone who is not practicing it. So it is very, very important to not only keep practicing, but go on until our last breath, practicing devotion service. Now, in text 22 of Adi Lila chapter 3, it says that whenever and wherever there's a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bhat, referring to Arjuna, and when there is predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. So Krishna is telling us that religion, and he sets the rules for religion, the codes of God, what to and what not to do. It is a very, very important and serious affair for him. And he is so loving and he is so kind that he knows that the end of our troubles come with us connecting with him, connecting with the proper religious practice, the eternal religion, Sanatana Dharma, which is Bhakti Yoga, devotional service to the Lord. So that is what is going to make us happy. That is what is going to make us happy inside, internal happiness, where the heart is or the soul is. So when the demons cause decline in that, then he comes to rectify that. Of course, when there's decline in religious practice, then the other part of it is irreligion, then begins to arise. So in devotional practice, We are not only chanting the holy name of the Lord, a person that gets initiated vows to obey regulated principles. No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. Yet, I was thinking about it this morning, that sometimes devotees may find it hard to get away from these practices which are wrong, which is not putting us on the human level. It was explained to me by a spiritual master that when one obeys the four regulated principles, then they come to the human platform. But we have been involved in doing this, some or all of them, over a period of time. It's been in some countries even said that, oh, that is the way of life. But it is all about sense gratification. The sense gratification of eating meat, sense gratification of involving in gambling, sense gratification of involving illicit sex, sense gratification, and the list is, it's all basically to satisfy the senses. Now, when that is stopped, then it means our senses are now being directed towards the way in which we should live this life, which is Krishna consciousness. Now we get away from the material sense gratification and now focus on Krishna consciousness. So sometimes people get addicted to one or more of these. And it's a very sad situation that addiction is not an easy thing to break. There is the intelligence that tells us the right thing to do. And then there is the addiction where the mind is so dominant, the mind is so strong, that the person tries to, but then they fall back into that bad practice again. And when there is help, and then there's prayer and sincere effort on the part to get away from that, Krishna will help. Sometimes his method of doing it may not be so easily, acceptable, not even acceptable, easily, it's sometimes unpredictable, but it is in fact very effective when one wants to stop a particular addiction and therefore be able to obey all four regulated principles, which gives really peace of mind. They can pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They can seek help from devotees and come to that particular practice of now obeying all regulated principles. And then this confidence and peace of mind that comes with doing that. And then on top of that, this chant the holy name, then a person is purifying from the inside and therefore is able now to talk about devotional service to others. Just like it says in the first one, the 321 that we read. So Krishna says was that this decline, then he comes himself to reestablish the principles of religion. So he descends to do that. So the Lord comes as himself. He manifests himself. He may come whenever he wants to, but he chooses to come on schedule at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, in the 28th millennium of the 7th Manu, in the day of Lord Brahma, as Srila Prabhupada explained. He doesn't have any obligation to adhere to such rules and regulations, but he's completely, because he's completely free to act as he likes. So he appears by his own will when there's predominance of religiosity and the disappearance of true religion. And at that time, he comes. So the principles of religion are laid down in the Vedas. And when people bring about discrepancy, then this is how religion arises. So we have to be very, very careful. I remember there was a program that I attended in Texas, in Dallas, Texas, that started by ISKCON, and it was called SSPT, Spiritual Strategic Planning. Mm-hmm. So form a team, Spiritual Strategic Planning. And from that, so many discussions were made. People were just trying to remind us what Srila Prabhupada stressed. Mm-hmm. And some of the mistakes made by the society and some of the devotees were brought up. And the idea is, how do we correct, learn and correct those mistakes, learn from and correct those mistakes, and then, you know, move ourselves forward. And in that lecture, there was one Brahmachari who was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And the name will come to me. Dravida Prabhu. He had a chance to talk about the way in which the translations and some of the purports had been written in the Bhagavad Gita. He could have talked about him about them, but because it was such a short time, he stuck with the Bhagavad Gita only. And he was very, very careful about bringing out the point in that sometimes the other versions, productions of Bhagavad Gita, that there were some words that were changed, and therefore he was warning that it seemed like other words could deliver the same meaning as Srila Prabhupada said, but in doing so, we can alter slightly some of the things that Srila Prabhupada said. So he brought up an example, said it was like this in the original book in Bhagavad Gita, and now some of the what's printed later, there have been some reviews, and now this has been written like this, and it should be the other way based on what Srila Prabhupada had said. There wasn't overall, according to my own humble opinion, a whole lot of changes that needed to be made, or much of the meanings lost, but it was a point well taken, and it was very much appreciated that Dravida Prabhu is telling people, you gotta be careful. This is how it starts. It seems like it's a little, but next thing you know, it's become a situation where the meaning has been changed. This is not what Srila Prabhupada said, but now people are doing something different. And so we have to be careful. Now, of course, we are being guided by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara. So the words spoken by them and the consistency and the way Srila Prabhupada did his writings and his lectures, that if we stick to it, there's not much of a chance of dilution to come in what we are, what we have been given. But you know that this world is changing and changing very rapidly. As you said, in American terms, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. So many things in the negative are now occurring. And therefore, it is very important not only to stick to the basics, but also to make sure that Srila Prabhupada's, what he said, is not contaminated in any way. As far as giving examples, yeah, that can be given. Examples of the current things that's going on. You can warn each other about it. What's good and, you know, what's bad. Warn about what's bad and also take advantage of what is good, whatever little good that comes. But the things that are said by Srila Prabhupada and our practices have to be the primary thing that can never be, that should never be changed. And if we don't change it, then we have a very, 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 very good chance of society being strong and being consistent in its teachings. But it is always here in this material world that there is some attempt to change the system of religion and the things that are spoken. But the Lord says that if it comes too bad, he himself will descend and he will make sure that the religious principles are set up properly. Vedic principles, they push us to complete surrender to Krishna. And so when these principles are disturbed by the demoniac people, then the Lord appears. We need to remember that he has said, Sarva Dharma Parityaja, he Krishna has said, Sri Krishna, एन साबदाम परिचर्या मामेकम शरणम बचा abandon all varieties of religion and take that one that is the eternal religion, which is what we describe as devotional service in love, loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the other thing too, which keeps us from getting deceived, is that no one should be accepted as an avatar unless he is referred to by scriptures. All the avatars are supposed to come are listed in the scriptures. Even sometimes who you're going to come from, what parents, in some cases what parents, in some cases where, literally the town or village that they were going in, it's all said in there. So that there is no confusion about somebody coming and say, oh, I'm God, I can do this, and they've learned some mystic things, and then they're impressing people and levitating themselves, and they say, I'm God, and so on, people try to follow them. So we have to be very, very, very careful. It's not a fact that the Lord appears only on Indian soil. Srila Prabhupada says he can manifest himself anywhere and everywhere, and whenever he desires to appear. So, in every incarnation, he speaks as much about religion as can be understood by the particular people in their circumstances. Especially when Vedas was not being abused and people were using it to do sacrifices to animals, if they could eat animals, then the Lord appeared as Lord Buddha to stop that. So, and he at that time, even though he was a Supreme Lord and an incarnation of the Lord himself, he did not say that he was the Lord himself. He just said, just follow what I tell you to do. Follow what I tell you to do. And he preached strongly about nonviolence. And then people followed that. And from that way, he in fact was able to cut into the bad practices that people have been using the Vedas to do, to try to go after flesh, to eat flesh. The very thing that we told not to do, one of the four regulated principles. So see, the regulated principles have already taken care of that if we just follow them. So Srila Prabhupada says, take advantage of the things that are now available and the principles that have been laid down. If we follow them, then we have a good chance of being purified and earning the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Guru and Gauranga, and going back to Godhead. So, the other one is Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chatushkritam Dharma samstapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. And the translation of that is, to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principle of religion. I myself appear millennium after millennium. So first, when there is a decline in religion and irreligion arises, then the Lord appears. Then this one, he says, he comes to also deliver the devotees, the pious, and to annihilate the miscreants, and of course reestablish the principles of religion. And he comes millennium after millennium. So sadhu, according to Bhagavad Gita, sadhu means a holy man, a man in Krishna consciousness. So when a devotee, a person practices Krishna consciousness, he's considered a sadhu. So, even if a person may on the externally appear to be irreligious, externally, but he has the qualifications of Krishna consciousness and is practicing wholly and fully, he is to be understood that he is a sadhu. Sadhus don't wear badges and say, I'm a sadhu and so on. No, they do not advertise themselves like that. Now, what about Duskritana? Duskritam is a person who does not care for Krishna consciousness. Such miscreants or Duskritam, they are described as foolish. Actually in the Bhagavad Gita it's described sometimes as the lowest of mankind. The lowest of mankind. The Maya has taken their intelligence of Maya Parita Jnana Asurim Bhavama Asritam. Among Duskritam, Muda, Papadante, Naradama. Kirtan. Those who don't care for Krishna consciousness. Sometimes they may be decorated with wonderful degrees, mundane education type degrees. But the person is not engaged in Krishna consciousness. They can never be accepted as a sadhu. Even though sometimes by material standards they may be learned or even well cultured. May seem so. But they are not actually sadhus. They are atheistic. So, actually, it's been explained, Srila Prabhupada explains it, and I heard lectures from Radhanath Swami also talking about it, that the Lord really doesn't need to come to with the purpose of destroying demons. He has many agents who can vanquish demons easily. The Lord especially descends on these two points. The most important one is, the more important one is, to appease His unalloyed devotees, who are always happy to see and to relate to Krishna. And sometimes His unalloyed devotees are harassed by the demons, just like Devaki was harassed by Kamsa, and just like Prahlad Maharaj was harassed by Hiranyakashipu. But the Lord came to deliver Prahlad and to deliver Devaki. Got him out of the prison cell of Kamsa. The Kamsa could have been killed another way. Hiranyakashipu could have been killed another way. The Lord decided to do it Himself because things are done by His own will. But the point still is that Krishna is more interested in pleasing His devotee than even getting rid of demons. Demons are also fortunate if they get killed by Krishna because they get liberated. Can go into the Brahma Jyoti. It's better than the heavenly planets. So, in that sense, they also get fortunate. Everything Krishna does is good. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita describes the avatar, incarnation of Godhead, as descending from the kingdom of God for material reasons into the material world for a particular purpose. So, there are many types of avatars. There are Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Leela avatars, Shaktivesh avatars, and Yuga avatars. They all appear on schedule, but they are all from Krishna. As a matter of fact, someplace in the Garga Samhita, when the demigods and Mother Bhumi went to Lord Brahma to explain what was going on in the earth and asking for help. And Lord Brahma went to see Shirodakshaya Vishnu. Shirodakshaya Vishnu, there's a shorter version of this pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But actually it is said in the Garga Samhita, Garga Muni talks more about having the Lord Shirodakshaya Vishnu taking them means Mother Bhumi, Lord Brahma, the demigods, all to the spiritual world. You see Krishna and put the matter before Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it tells that Krishna says that the demigods should take birth in the Yadu dynasty and then He would come. More information is given in the Garga Samhita. And the reason we bring this up is when they went to see the demigods, to see Krishna in Golok, that Krishna showed a certain aspect of Him that was wonderful. The different incarnations appeared. Lord Ram, Sringadev, so many incarnations, Nara, Narayan, they all appeared one by one. And as they appeared in their glory, they all did one thing. They merged into Krishna right in front of all of the demigods. And the demigods were, in American terms, blown away by that point. The Krishna is a primeval Lord, the fountainhead of all avatars. And of course, as you might expect, there was long text after text after text after text of so many prayers of praise that the demigods gave Krishna. So Krishna is a primeval Lord, the primeval Lord, the original, and all the devotees, the avatars are from him. So he incarnates himself in every millennium. Sometimes, the last point I want to make is that yes, we know that Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya once in the day of Lord Brahma. And the day of Lord Brahma has 1,000 yuga cycles. 1,000 yuga cycles. So 1,000 Kali Yugas are there. As is the Satya Yuga, the Treta Yuga, and the Dwapara Yuga. In one day of Lord Brahma. So one of those comes. He comes as Lord Chaitanya. And we are not far away from that time. 536 years. Kali Yuga is 432,000 years. And we have had Lord Chaitanya only 500 years ago. Now, the other 999 Kali Yuga. So he comes, the Lord comes as Gaura Narayan. And he does not preach chanting on the holy name of the Lord. He still preaches based on the awe and reverence, the type that is practiced in the Vaikuntha planets. That was explained a little more by Chandramali Swami when I asked questions about it. So the other 999, he comes as Gaura Narayan. Lord Chaitanya, one day, one of the Kali Yugas, he explains, he comes that way. So we're very fortunate that we not only are chanting the holy name to go back to Godhead, but also, even in the japa, Srila Prabhupada, by his mercy, has reduced the required number of rounds to 16 rounds so that we have the opportunity. It's like Krishna has been represented to us, presented to us, like on sale. We should put to 1064 rounds, now we're 1016 rounds to be able to go back to Godhead. So we should take advantage of this situation. And the Lord is always there for his devotees. So the process has been simplified so much in Kali Yuga. Take advantage of it and finish the business in this life, in the material world, in this body, and go back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The fact of the matter is, there's a number of reasons. The fact of the matter is that the devotees of the Lord live their lives based on devotional service. And the second point is, the Vedas also teach us ultimately about devotional service. And so the connection is the devotional service itself. The performance of devotional service is so important that when religion declines, then it means devotional service also declines. Because it is religion, it is the Vedas that teach us, especially if you look at the Vedanta Sutra summary, Srimad Bhagavatam, talking about exactly what one should do in devotional service. And so when that gets competed with by irreligion, and people stop and get themselves into irreligion, means more sense gratification things and the demonic activities, then naturally the activities of devotional service are going to go down. And when the activities of devotional service go down, then how many people are going to teach others about devotional service? Then it gets to a point where now more people are going to lose out the advantage that they already have, advantage of being in a human body, getting the opportunity to go back to Godhead, that also gets checked in some ways, because now human beings begin to behave just like animals do. And then the advantage that is there to be taken by humans now has gone down because of the decline in the religion. So the religion, proper religion, Sanatana Dharma, the eternal religion, stresses devotional service. And therefore, when that's down, then there are less people in devotional service to even teach others devotional service. That's why Lord Chaitanya's appearance is very, very, very important, especially in Kali Yuga, the most degraded of the four ages. And to show us that we have to take it so, so, so seriously And he was, and as you remember, we went to Maipur, and you know where he was born. We saw the place where he was living, and then not only that, the place where Shivas, Thakur, and the rest, and all of the devotees were constantly chanting nocturnal pastimes, but the holy name of the Lord. And he was, the Lord himself was not only doing the inaugurated when he got initiated by Ishwarapuri, he inaugurated the chanting of the holy name. He was chanting all over the place to purify God himself, to purify the minds of the devotees and turn them, minds of the people in general, and turn them into Krishna consciousness. So when a person is excited, then they can talk about Krishna. They can talk about Krishna, and they can talk about with such conviction. And then others can then latch on to it and then also get saved that way. So yes, the religion, the establishment of the Dharma, the purpose of Dharma is for us to be connected to Krishna in devotion service. So that's where the connection is. Hare Krishna. A piece of my heart is saying that I'd like to hear Mother Gita's voice in this, all this whole thing. Even if it's just a few sentences, that would be very nice. Hare Krishna. Don't mind, bless you, Paul. It doesn't have to be anything in particular, just your own feelings about what's been said, that's all. What your own feelings about the text. Yeah. Hare Krishna. I knew there was a wonderful realization that was there. That's why my mind was saying so important. Go ahead, go ahead. You're going to say something. Answer. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yeah, we do actually need to understand how fortunate we are, as Mother Gita was explaining. We're very, 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 very fortunate. We don't have to wait till the body gets really, really old to understand that. Because it will bring up the point, though, when you slow down and you see that the material things that you like to do will only go so far. And now you see, you begin to think more of what life really is about. And then you begin to realize that, this physical body, so you're going to take another physical body, it's only going to get old and give you disease again. It will just do the same thing over. Maybe in another type of disease, another type of situation, another body in another universe or in another planet or back in the same planet. But it just doesn't help in the end. It's Krishna consciousness that takes us out of the hassle that the material body can give. And while we're in these human bodies, it's so important that we take this process seriously. One point I wanted to make is, just look around. So many other entities that are in non-human bodies. Just look around. Insects, birds, trees, fish, the list goes on. None of them will get an opportunity to go back to Godhead this lifetime. Only those in human bodies. And those in human bodies, some of them are enjoying themselves, so-called enjoying themselves, sense gratification. Only devotees are fortunate enough to know the real truth. It's an open secret. It's out there. Everybody can chant, but only devotees are chanting. So when we are in this process, and fortunate to be in this process, and fortunate to be in the process at a time that has been made so simple for us, quantity-wise even, 16 rounds instead of 64 rounds. This is a time to jump on it and take great advantage so that we can go back to Godhead. It is where we're going to get our real happiness in the end, going back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. You can see how clearly, and we don't, it's not good to speculate, but you can see how the connection is there between him and Lord Chaitanya. That's why his kirtans were so powerful. But, I watched it too, part of it this morning. It's a little over three hours, the video on YouTube. And it was very powerful, it was solemn, it was sweet. And the way they were, you know, putting the body down, and yeah. And the word, yeah, it was, I know Mother Gita did not want to use the word flexible, but I don't think it's a wrong word to say flexible. He really was that way, and he was really putting the salt on him. It was very, 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 very wonderful to look at all of that. And it's incredible, because when you think about it, that's supposed to be a corpse. Hmm? But the whole thing is so spiritualized that it doesn't look like a regular, you know, anything of the burial that people have gone through so many times. It's a whole ritual in itself. Hare Krishna. Jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.